It's hard for me to say, my friends, how much I have been looking forward to this day and to this moment. And it's, you know, seeing your faces, two beloved communities that I've had the privilege to be minister in over the years, to see your faces side by side together, it's like having the two sides of my family all together, and it's just such a blessing. And so I thank you for your presence today, and if these congregations are new to you, if the church is new to you, I want to say a word of welcome to you too, and to thank you for your presence here. Your presence is a blessing to us, and may there be a blessing for you in this house today. I know that people don't come to church because they think they've got it all together. That may be a popular conception out there on the street, but it ain't true. I've been a minister for a long time, and I've never met anybody who came to the church because they thought they had it all together. I've never seen it. I've never seen somebody say, you know, I'm just going from victory to victory in this life. My life is completely carefree, and my righteousness is shining like the sun. I think I'll go to church. I never saw it. We don't come to church because we're good. We come to church because God is good. And also, I come to church because I'm trying to stay sane. And I figure that the best way to stay sane is to remember that this is God's world. You may carry a lot of responsibilities in this life. You may have a lot of obligations on your shoulders. But you don't have to arrange for the sun to rise in the morning. And you don't have to arrange for the mountains to be beautiful. God has already arranged for the sun to rise this morning. And God has already arranged for the mountains to be beautiful. And God has arranged for you to rise this morning. And if you want to be beautiful. Before it's anything else, life is out and out gift. This is why the Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God is first life. All other life emerges from first life. God is primal energy. All other energies are derivative. God is creator. If there are any human creativities in this world, they come from the prime creator. God is the beginning, and all our beginnings through the days of our lives receive their energy from the primal beginning. In the beginning, God created. And whether or not it is clear to us, we are, each one of us, a living echo of that primal creation. I want to speak to you about beginnings, because this is a day for little Cormac Murphy to begin, set foot on a trail with fellow travelers like us, a trail we call the way and the truth and the life. And we'll pray for him. We'll do what we can to help him and help one another on the path. And it's a day to remember our beginnings as communities of Jesus and to celebrate that and to give thanks for that. And so, because it's a day for beginnings, that's what I'll speak about, and I'll begin with prayer. Let us pray. In words spoken here, may the living word appear. May Jesus, the Word, come to those who are far from home, in body or in spirit. May the forgiveness of Jesus come to those who are dying for a second chance. May the healing of Jesus come to all who are reaching out for wellness. May Jesus come to walk with all who would live this life this day in a good way. Amen. In my life, I've made a lot of beginnings. So have we all. I have awakened and begun the living of 25,000 days. Do the math. I can remember things about beginning my very first day of school, climbing those tall stairs and going in at the yellow door to the kindergarten room and the sun streaming through the windows. Sue and I began a marriage. We've begun. True, we're 42 years into it, but it's a good beginning, and it's blessed me. One day, I don't know why, I decided to begin to learn the art of baking bread. The beginnings I have experienced are beyond counting. Each one is a spark flying up out of the primal beginning. How many beginnings have you made in your life? Begin a job? Begin a friendship? Take the first step in a long trip? Begin another day? They're beyond number. Your beginnings, they're untold multitudes. They're stars in the sky. There's no way you could ever imagine all the beginnings you have had in your life. Each one of them, a little spark from the great primal fire. I was teaching a youngster to skate in the rink I make in the backyard. When we finished, we came inside to warm up. And I asked her, I said, "How many times did you fall down out there on the rink?" She thought that over for a minute and she said, "Twice." Well, she had fallen down maybe 200 times. But every time she struggled herself upright again, staggered around the rink, begin and begin and begin. And I was admiring her extraordinary resilience, and I wondered, what gives this little soul such energy to begin again and again and again when the evidence every time is she falls down, and then she stands up and does it again? What gives her that resilience? And then I realized, hey, wait a minute. Haven't I started 1,000 personal makeovers in the course of my life? How many times in my failure and discouragement have I somehow known, even in the face of all the evidence, that it's possible to begin again? We have this deep will somehow inside us, this will to begin again and again and again, not because it makes sense, but because we are living emanations of the primal beginning. You don't have to believe in God to have it. Atheists have it. Saints and sinners have it. Old people have it. Toddlers have it. The salmon have it, swimming down the river from their birthplace to the sea. The earth has it. Each new morning is born out of the night, each one a morning that the world has never seen before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you are living evidence of God's inexhaustible gift, not because your beginnings are all pious and perfect, but because you're still at it. Still waking up in the morning and beginning again. Still trying. Still taking that first precarious step. Still hoping. Still crazy alive after all these years. And here's a testimony to this truth. In the last 10 months, 700,000 refugees and migrants have come walking up out of Africa, walking up out of the Middle East, walking with whatever possessions they can carry on their backs, all they own in the world. There they are, carrying their children, walking away from hunger and violence, walking away from a home that has become a nightmare, walking toward a future they cannot know in a land they have not visited. Hundreds of thousands of human creatures willing in the face of all odds to begin again. There's a testimony. The Bible has no word for refugee. What we would call a refugee, the Bible calls a stranger or a sojourner. Have you ever been a stranger? Have you ever sought refuge among a people you did not know? Have you ever tried to make a home among a people whose culture you did not understand? One of the many stranger, sojourner, refugee stories the Bible tells is the story of Naomi. Naomi and her husband and their two sons lived in Bethlehem. Famine came upon their land, and their lives were changed forever. When famine descends, hunger comes, and then hunger gives way to starvation, and starvation to conflict, and on to desperation and death. So Naomi and her husband and their two sons stood up and they started walking. Walking east. They started walking, hungry, looking for a place they might survive. And they ended up as strangers in a land called Moab, the land that we call today Jordan. The two sons ended up marrying Jordanian women, Orpah and Ruth. And then, more tragedy. Naomi's husband and her two sons died. They died there in Moab, a long, long way from home. So Naomi was left with her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Three women clinging to survival in a man's world. One day, Naomi heard that the harvest had returned in Bethlehem, and she decided to start walking again, and this time she walked west. She was walking home. Orpah decided not to walk with her mother-in-law. She decided to stay in her homeland of Moab. Ruth decided that she would go with Naomi. "Wherever you go, I will go," she said. "Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." She decided to become a stranger among people she did not know and among whom she had no status, no security. This ancient story is being told today by the hundreds of thousands. You see pictures of it every night in the news. You see them, a multitude of faces, all of them strangers in a strange land, all of them beginning again, beginning because of hunger, the terror of war, beginning without a known outcome, beginnings born out of desperate endings. And that's the thing, isn't it? A beginning emerges when something has ended. The ending is sad, cruel, sometimes terrifying. It's only when the day has been extinguished, it's only when the day has gone down into night that the world is prepared for a morning. This is why our hymn says, "In our end is our beginning." Something God alone can see. When you serve the office of moderator in the United Church of Canada, you have an advisory committee, a small table of maybe half a dozen people. They help keep you sane. They help keep you true. They help you keep it in the channel. When I was moderator, a man named Sang Chul Lee was at the advisory table. Sang Chul Lee is a Korean who grew up in Russia and who came to Canada as a refugee. He knows what it is to be a stranger. He's lived a life for which it would be hard to invent the script. In 1988, Sang Chul Lee was elected moderator of the United Church of Canada. 1988 was the year of the General Council decision that sexual orientation was not going to be a barrier to anyone who applied to be considered for ministry. It was a decision that shook and changed the church. Thanks be to God. Sang Chul Lee held the church through the turmoil and the debates and the decisions of those years. It took immeasurable grace and courage to do what he did and to absorb what he absorbed. And now, there he sat at the advisory table, tiny little man, round smiling face, dancing eyes, long gray hair. His presence at the table, his easy laughter, his serenity, it was a living testimony. He didn't even have to say a word. Have you ever been in the presence of someone like that? Someone whose courage and serenity make you see, let you know that no matter what you face, you have it in you to begin again. Sang Chul Lee and Ruth, the woman from Moab, refugees. Their lives no more than brief words in the timeless human narrative of leaving everything to become strangers in search of a home to begin again. Just as Sang Chul Lee ended up in a place he did not know, Canada, so Ruth ended up in a place she did not know, Bethlehem. Eventually, she would marry and have a son, a boy grandchild to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Here's what the Bible says about that. Then Naomi took up her grandchild, and the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so in Bethlehem, the generations rose and passed away. And then one day, many, many years later, there would be born in Bethlehem a descendant of Ruth, with the blood of the stranger flowing in his veins, and they would name the child Jesus. He is why we are here. We don't come to church because we've got it all together. We come because of what we have in common with that multitude of faces. We are here because of what we have in common with all those who know the sadness and the cruelty of endings. Like them, we are blessed with the unaccountable notion that even in the face of the evidence, it is in us still to stand up, rise up into life. Jesus was raised from death, and his rising calls for ours. None of this is because of the evidence. This is inexplicable. The spark flies upward only because there is a great fire. And this is God. And so we never look down on the struggle for life, neither anybody else's nor our own. In the community of Jesus, we recognize that it is God on the move up out of Africa, up out of the Middle East. And we recognize our own will to rise again and be beautiful after we have failed ourselves and others. We thank God for the miracle God puts in our feet so that we can put them on the floor in the morning and live another day. It's God's world. The sun has risen. God's world. The mountains are beautiful. God's world. First life is in you. Still a spark of crazy hope. Flying upward. Out of primal fire. Amen.